Welcome to today. Had a little intro break where I wasn't supposed to say anything, but I did anyway. So please go to Wiser Living, WEISERLiving.com, and on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos which have been uploaded. And by subscribing, you'll not only get access to the educational videos, but you'll be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs and services, the Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products. So do take a look at this page at your convenience. And also, just to recap, so wiserliving.com, subscribe at Wiser Living TV or wiserliving.tv, and follow us on Wiser Living Radio. And like us at facebook.com/wiserliving, and you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And with that, this is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time to tune in to this broadcast today. And I know your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes and a few seconds, I want to add to your wellness experience. You know, while people have used canning and artificial refrigeration to preserve food for the last 100 years or so, salt has been the best-known food preservative, especially for meat, for thousands of years. With the spread of civilization, salt became one of the most, the world's main trading commodities. We talk about tea and coffee now being, and sugar as commodities, but at that time, salt was the main trading commodity. It was of high value to the Hebrews, the Greeks, the Romans, the Byzantines, and the Hittites. In Northeast Africa, or what is commonly known today or referred to today as the Middle East, salt was used to seal agreements. And the ancient Hebrews made a covenant of salt with God, and they sprinkled salt on their offerings to show their trust in him. So you can see how important salt was. And an ancient practice in time of war was salting the earth. You know, I heard of that, but I didn't know it was due to war. Or scattering salt around a defeated city in order to prevent plant growth. So if you're growing plants, don't put salt in the ground. Salt has been used for currency, to barter, and even traded weight for weight for gold. And that's amazing. So the word salt is used in names like Salzburg. I think that's in Germany. Salzburg, Germany. And Salzburg, the S-A-L part of it, means a salt castle, a city with extensive salt deposits, or salt. Salzach, S-A-L-Z-A-C-H, which literally means salt river. You know, during the first millennium B.C., Celtic communities, they grew rich trading salt and salted meat they sold salted meat to ancient Greece and ancient Romans in exchange for wine and other luxuries. The word salary, this might interest you, the word salary originates from the Latin word salarium, which refers to the money paid to the Roman army soldiers for the purchase of salt. But most of the talk today, in today's time, refers to our food and our health and salt. You know, in modern times, salt has been made out to be the villain. It's like the arch enemy now. And it's something to basically steer clear of. They say stay away from salt or away from anything related to salt. So in recent years, salt has been blamed for a number of poor health conditions like high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke. And when it comes to our standard American diet, we call it the SAD diet, and diets even across the planet, when we look at America, the Americans consume on average about 10 grams of salt per day. But is salt really as dangerous as we have been led to believe? Or is there a healthy or even beneficial amount of salt that we should be eating? Well, back in 1997, a study called the DASH, sodium study. It was a DASH sodium study, which was conducted basically to determine whether or not a low salt diet would control high blood pressure. And this DASH diet, it consisted mostly of fresh vegetables and fresh fruits, lean protein, whole grains, low-fat dairy, and it was very low in salt. So while the people on the DASH diet, they actually showed a reduction in hypertension or high blood pressure, the real reason for that reduction was not the reduction of salt, but the reduction of fructose, of fruit sugar, which means that hypertension is actually promoted by an excess of the fruit sugar called fructose, not excess salt. I hope you got that. It's not the salt that causes the hypertension. It's the excess sugar, even if it's a good sugar. If it's fructose, which is a fruit sugar, it can lead to hypertension. Now, researchers who wanted to prove this salt theory, they completely overlooked all of the other factors involved in that study, even though it was in print. And because of that major oversight, they drew the wrong conclusion. Now, this one study, this one and only study, is where the sodium myth got started. One study. Now, salt got the blame for the damage that sugar was causing. The amount of salt Americans eat pales in comparison to the amount of fructose they consume on a daily basis. So it's the salt or the sugar fructose consumption rather than the salt that's driving this force behind our ever-increasing high blood pressure and hypertension rates. But you're not going to really hear about this, in the news print, because hypertension is or the treatment of hypertension is a big moneymaker. What is sodium? Because a lot of, people say, I'm staying away from salt, I'm staying away from sodium. What is it? I mean, how do you define it? Why should you care about it? Well, sodium, as it turns out, is a crucial electrolyte in the body. Many foods contain small amounts of sodium naturally, but salt and its derivatives, or if you look at sodium chloride, salt is made of a 40% sodium and 60% chloride by weight. Now, what sodium does in the body is bind water, and it maintains the fluid balance within the cells and outside the cells. And I'm going to probably say this several times on this program today. I feel it's really important. Sodium is also an electrically charged molecule, and along with potassium, it helps maintain electrical gradients across the cell membranes. I know this in science, but which is critical for nerve transmission. It's critical for muscular contraction, and it's critical for many other functions that goes on in the body. So I shared this, a bit of this life science with you to say this. The body, your body, our bodies cannot function without sodium, period. So what about sodium iodide? Because you hear a lot about that, iodized salt and so forth and so on. But let's talk a little bit about iodine. But I have to lay a little groundwork before I get into it, because a major confusion is that only refined commercial and household salt is known as salt to most of the medical science. Well, it's known as salt to most of the medical science. And consumers alike, it is the most prevalent type of salt, or what we call table salt by far. Refined salt is stripped of its natural mineral structure, so it's virtually 97% to 99% sodium. That's why it's called sodium chloride. Processed foods are laced with sodium chloride, which is refined salt, as well as other types of sodium, such as sodium benzoate, sodium nitrate, and this infamous monosodium glutamate, or MSG, which means that if you are concerned about your sodium levels, you should get rid of processed foods in your house. And when you go in the store, don't buy processed foods. Get away from it, because there's too much of that sodium that your body can't use in it. But unrefined salt is an excellent detoxification aid, as well as a provider of mineral nutrients and a natural bioavailable balance. So in other words, when you take a natural type salt, it will be able to get into the cells of your body to give you what we call homeostasis. And there's usually about around, depending on what book you read, 80 plus minerals, because I've seen some books that say 80, somewhere between 80 and 94 minerals and essential trace elements in the unrefined organic salt. I'm going to talk a little bit more on that, on which type a little later. But the soil where we grow our food, so that soil-grown food is lacking in many of these minerals and trace elements because the soil has been depleted of it. So, you know, some of the major minerals included with unrefined salt are magnesium and calcium and potassium and sulfate. All on the periodic chart are up there, all salts. So, obviously, sodium is present also, but it's only 50% of the total mineral content rather than the 99% sodium in refined table salt. So, when you look at your table salt, you're going to have way more sodium than you actually need, plus you don't have the barriers of the other trace elements to slow down it being dissolved. So once again, 50% of the total mineral content is sodium, and the rest are other elements. So regular table salt sometimes has iodine added in order to promote thyroid health, but it doesn't have enough iodine for optimal thyroid health. So you got the iodine on the container. So you automatically think in your mind, okay, if I consume this product, I'm going to be able to get thyroid health, but nowhere near. You know, iodine is an important agent for glandular health. Okay, we know that, but it's not present in our food anymore unless you eat a lot of seafood, which when you eat the seafood, you've got to be concerned with toxin issues in the water because we're like, you know, polluting the waters now, or like Fukushima with radiation. So unrefined organic salt with iodine, or with iodine supplements, I should say, is recommended by researchers and some doctors. But more on that a little later because, you know, what kind of iodine supplements should you use and how much should you use? There's a lot of controversy there. So as common as salt shakers are arthritis, so are the number of diseases associated with daily use of salt. So I've mentioned that life is not possible without salt. But our consumption of salt seems to be killing us. So why is that? Well, because regular table salt, once again, no longer has anything in common with the original crystal salt. It's interesting to note that our bodies contain the same salty solution as the ocean salt water. I mean, this salty fluid travels through more than 60,000 miles of blood vessels just to balance the various functions of our bodies every day, and it's doing it every minute of every hour of every day. So let me recap a little bit. Unrefined natural salt is important to many biological processes, like it being a major component of your blood plasma, your lymphatic fluid, your extracellular fluid, and even amniotic fluid. It carries nutrients in the cell and out of the cell. It maintains and it even regulates blood pressure. Well, let me say that again. It maintains and even regulates blood pressure. That is unrefined natural salt. So unrefined natural salt increases the glial cells in your brain, which is responsible for creative thinking and long-term planning. So you can kind of see connecting the dots is that, you know, one salt is ubiquitous in the body if it's the correct salt, and it will give you a semblance of health. It also helps your brain to communicate with your muscles, so that you can move or on demand via the sodium potassium ion exchange. So you have two salts there, sodium and potassium, that you need. Every cell has to have a balance of sodium and potassium. All of the trillions of cells in your body must have a balance of sodium and potassium. If you don't, then you have issues. You have chronic type issues. So, is there a link between salt and high blood pressure? Is there a link between salt and cardiovascular disease. Well, let's review for a moment how excess dietary sugar and refined carbohydrates can actually set you up for developing cardiovascular disease. Now, hypertension is a common thread linking obesity and type 2 diabetes, gout, heart disease, and even stroke. So is it the hypertension or is it something else? Well, when you have these issues going on, there's insulin resistance, which is really the common denominator. It's the insulin resistance that's causing all of this. And what we do know is that sugar and refined carbohydrates actually cause insulin resistance. And the primary sugar, once again, is what? Fructose. Let me spell that. F-R-U-C-T-O-S-E. Fructose is the primary sugar that's creating all of this drama. Okay, so sugar and refined carbohydrates raise your insulin level, which in turn raise your blood pressure and promote storage of body fat, obesity, heart disease, which is going to cause stress on the body. You're going to get more hormones, stress hormones like cortisol being doused into the body, which is going to what? Raise the pressure. But what's the culprit? Is it salt? Is it processed foods? Is it alone? Is it other factors? Well, the problem is we're getting, not only do we get the wrong salt, we're getting too much sugar, right and wrong. And the reason fructose does not, well, actually, the reason why fructose does this more than any other sugar is that your body produces uric acid as a byproduct of fructose metabolism. And increased uric acid levels raises your blood pressure. That's a normal phenomenon. So what the science shows is very clear. It isn't the salt that's doing this. It's the fructose. So check in your cabinets, check in your refrigerator, and look at the ingredients and to see what kind of sugars are you bringing into your body. Because all of the evidence shows that sodium intake does not affect blood pressure unless you are especially sodium sensitive. But what if your sodium is too low? Most people aren't aware of this, but your risk for health problems is increased significantly if your sodium is too low. It's a condition called hyponatremia. Emia means blood, hypo below. So there's an issue in the bloodstream. You know, sodium is an electrolyte responsible for many critical biological processes, as I mentioned before, including regulating the amount of water that's in and around your cells. So if your blood becomes too low in sodium, your body's fluid levels rise and your cells begin to swell. And this swelling can cause a number of health problems from mild to severe issues. You know, low sodium can cause nausea, vomiting, appetite changes, loss of energy, headache, fatigue, seizures, muscle weakness, spasms. It can cause cramps. It can cause confusion, nervousness, and if it continues, it can lead to hallucinations, unconsciousness, a coma. It's like when people go into a diabetic coma. I mean, it can cause that. But changes in mood and appetite are among the first notable manifestations. And a lot of times we don't really attribute it to a food. You go get a medication for it and hopefully everything is okay. But so what am I saying here? Salt matters. Or better yet, the type of salt matters. So all salt is not salt or good salt. I mean, there's sea salt, which, you know, you have to be wary of because of the pollution and the mercury and heavy metals in our oceans now. I mean, that was like if you got kelp and you ate a bunch of kelp and stuff like that, or the fish that's eating the kelp, you ate the fish. I mean, you're really getting this, but now you have to be wary of that. Then there's kosher salt. I mean, when I studied kosher salt, it's amazing what that's for, actually. You know, kosher salt is normally a salt that is coarse. So when you're going to, because, you know, I've seen it in grocery stores, like, well, it's a little bit too coarse. You can't shake it out of the shaker. But its primary purpose is to salt meat. And the reason why it's salting the meat is to draw out the blood. Because there was a time when it was said, when you kill an animal, don't eat it with the blood in it. You have to drain the blood out. So table salt is too thin for this. And it'll dissolve into the meat without drawing out the blood. So So it dissolves in the meat. You consume the meat. Now you have a problem with water retention because the salt that you took in isn't the salt that your body can actually use. So if the salt is too coarse, it'll just roll off. So the salt that is just right for kosher meat is called kosher salt. And some people prefer to use it in certain recipes because of its consistency. Salt deposits. Now, salt deposits found in salt mines consist of 95% rock salt. So since the salt is a wholesome, natural substance, it's far better than table salt. But the elements within the rock salt haven't undergone sufficient compression over a long enough time so the natural elements can be utilized in the body. So the rock salt has the natural elements. They're in the right, format. But they're too coarse and unrefined to be absorbed into our cells. So if it can't get in the cells, it's basically useless. Then there's crystal salt. Pure natural crystal salt has been subjected to enormous pressure over a protracted period of time. We're talking not, a couple of years, 10 years. It's like, some people say millions of years. So this pressure is responsible for creating the salt crystal. So when you look at that type of salt, salt for the human body is a carrier of information, not a spice. So when you put salt on whatever you're putting it on, you're going to get the taste. So that's what you get, but the body could care less about the taste like it does with a lot of other minerals and stuff like that. It wants it to go into bioavailable reactions or biochemical reactions so the body can build, defend, and restore itself. And so crystallized salt is structured properly to move unimpeded throughout the body. Crystal salt like Himalayan pink salt is probably the purest salt to be found on Earth. I mean, the reason why it's pink is due to the salt's rich in varying mineral and energy-rich iron content. And that's one main reason why I like this salt, because of iron. It is so difficult to get iron into the cell, the human cell. And so a lot of people who take iron supplements because they're iron deficient become constipated, and they can't even get the other nutrients that they need because of that. And so Himalayan salt has the iron that's bioavailable that can actually get into your cells and give you some benefit. Himalayan salt has about 80 plus minerals, as I kind of mentioned before, and elements. And because of all of these minerals that's involved in it or in it, Himalayan pink salt can create an electrolyte balance, increase hydration. It can regulate the water content both inside the cell and outside of the cell. It balances pH. How about that? Throughout your body. And helps reduce acid reflux. It prevents muscle cramping. It aids in proper metabolism function. It strengthens bones. It lowers blood pressure again. It helps the intestines to absorb nutrients, prevent goiters, that's thyroid, improves circulation, dissolves and eliminates sediment to remove toxins and helps to protect the body from heavy metal. As you can begin to see, there's a lot of different phases to ingesting the correct salt. Knowing that you have to have this salt, which if the salt is there, is going to make sure your body gets enough water, because if there's not enough water there, it's going to ask for it. You're going to have this craving for water. You're going to be thirsty. So now, an understanding of two elements, mainly water and salt, the correct salt, should be implanted firmly in your brain right now. I mean, think of it for a moment. I mean, the blend of water and the blend of salt is very important for the human body to perform. It's very important for the human body to build, to defend, and restore itself. Restore means optimizing your wellness. And there's when I say optimizing wellness, I'm talking about you putting a natural substance in your body, because the body knows exactly what's going on inside. You may have to take your temperature. It knows exactly what your temperature is. It knows whether it should open pores and let heat out, or close them and trap the heat to warm the body up, which warms you up. So there's a very easy way get both of these elements and all of the benefits of these elements every day by consuming a Solae. And S-O-L-E with that little hyphen off of the E, going to the right side of the E. You know, all of the benefits I just mentioned can be achieved by ingesting just one teaspoon per day of this salt solution. I mean, think about that for a moment. You can go to wiserliving.com and click on Wiser Living TV and watch, and click where it says watch now, and you can view a video on the benefits of Solae and how to make it. If you prefer to go straight to YouTube, you can go there and type in Dr. Budweiser and benefits of Solae and how to make it, or just Solae, and it'll come up. You'll be surprised how easy it is to do, how easy it is to consume, and to get that many. Just think about it, this one container versus, you know, maybe 20 bottles of product to do the same thing. Okay. We've covered a lot in the last few minutes of our program today as it concerns salt. And I think one of the takeaways is that table salt should be eliminated from your home, period. Products like real salt are not, you know, you may be able to use it to soak your feet in or in a bath like Epsom salt and stuff like that. But for ingestion, you need Himalayan pink salt crystals, or I guess you can get the refined to, and some of you might want to invest in a little tiny grinder because you may want it even finer. But you want to do it as you utilize it, as opposed to refining it and making it really, really fine and buying it in store, where I think it loses some of it. Obviously, the crystal is going to be better, right? So we now know that our bodies need salt, because you can't produce your own sodium, you can't produce your own chloride, and salt is required for the blood, it's required for sweat, it's required for digestive juices, and efficient nerve transmission. So a lot of people have, especially diabetics that have a nerve pain. Is because they don't have either the right, one of the reasons, the many reasons, are they don't have enough of the right type of salt, or they don't have enough salt that would allow the body to absorb fluid in order to keep their electrolyte balanced, so they don't have the nerve issue. And salt needs water to be truly effective. So, you know, in these programs, when I talk about different topics on just the life of the body, you can see that I can talk about salt, but I can't talk exclusively about salt because it has some buddies that it needs to hang out with. A lot of minerals, it's got a lot of friends that it has to hang out with. So you have to have the right salt, and you have to have it by in a bioavailable form. That's why I think Solae is so important. You know, a Journal of American Medical Association study showed people with the lowest levels of sodium died earlier than people who ate average amounts of salt. If pregnant mothers and children eat sufficient amounts of salt, they exhibit improved cognitive function. If there's iodine present, they are protected from iodine deficiency, at least the diseases, which is the world's leading cause of mental retardation. Think Solae. Salt is a natural food. It's a natural food ingredient with no calories. Okay, so don't forget to check us out on wiserliving.com for info and recipes. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV. Please follow us on Wiser Living Radio. Get your friends and family to check it out as well. And like us on facebook.com/wiserliving. And you can also connect with us on Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser. Appreciating you.